Welcome to the 10th Annual Homelessness Marathon, a national dialogue on homelessness and poverty in America. The toll-free call-in number for this broadcast is 1-877-NOBODY-8. That's the word nobody, followed by the number 8. If you are homeless, formerly homeless, or afraid you're about to be homeless, you may also call 1-866-LEFT-OUT. This is the 10th Annual Homelessness Marathon in America, but it's also the 5th Annual Homelessness Marathon in Canada. Though our neighbor to the north does have national health insurance, there are still plenty of homeless people on its streets. How is homelessness different in Canada? How is it the same? Those are questions we'll ask in an open mic hour simulcast with Canada's Homelessness Marathon right after this break. Activist and sculptor Ashira Cinnamon was commissioned to design a public art installation for Portland, Maine. Cinnamon decided to use discarded materials she found near a homeless encampment to create her sculpture. While gathering the abandoned wood and metal, she got to know some of the homeless people, and after weeks of working near their hidden camp, she started to learn about their lives.
The next time I came back with someone to get more of the materials for the work that I was thinking of but hadn't designed yet, some workmen who recognized us from a previous trip said, "Did you hear what had happened there?" And we were informed that a homeless man had been beaten at that site and was in the hospital. And I found out a few days later that he died and that a friend of his had been accused of killing him. And I was very, very deeply moved and saddened by those events and by what they represent in terms of what it means to lose one's life in that kind of situation, to be accused of killing a friend, or potentially to have been pushed to the wall and perhaps have done that. And my sense of sadness really extended to both men, both the man who lost his life and the man whose life was in a shambles at this point, and wanted to do something that related to and would call attention to the situation that creates lives that are lacking what most of us take for granted, a place to live, a roof over our heads, a comfortable place to sleep that's dry and warm in the winter. And there are too many people who don't have those things. So I began to think about designing something, and I'm Jewish, and in my tradition, when you mourn for someone, the loss of someone, you need 10 people to stand with the mourner and say a prayer. So I created 7 figures in a circle, making room for the viewer to join the circle and not only to grieve, but also to do something to change the situation. It's called Kaddish, which is the name of the prayer for the dead, Kaddish for the dispossessed.
Cinnamon's sculpture inspired the art community to go further and examine the link between social justice and the arts. Public forums were organized featuring Marianne Gleason, the former executive director of the National Coalition for the Homeless.
Well, for me, art is one more medium for actually inviting people to a real passion for economic justice, for righting the wrong that homelessness is. And art is an invitation. And one of the things that I love about the installation that Ashira has created is that it talks about the dispossessed. And if you sort of think about what that means, it means people who have no longer have access to property, or in some cases self-esteem, no longer have access to social relationships that all are fundamental to health and life and growth. And for me, that describes homelessness, in spite of the fact that we should be a society of inclusion, And that this is, installation is calling us to that. That is not the reality of our culture. Our culture is one of exclusion, and because of that, homelessness has become almost acceptable. People see it as part of what the social landscape is in America, and that's clearly wrong. And any medium that invites us to alter that and to reform and redefine our society to be one of inclusion is, for me, an invitation that I'm always ready to accept and hope many others will.
In Portland, Maine, reporting for the Homelessness Marathon, I'm Jessica Lockhart.
Okay, welcome back to the 10th Annual Homelessness Marathon, broadcasting to you from Fresno, California. In the Frosty studio with me is Becky Johnson with, I don't know if you're a guest host or a guest or just an interloper, Mike Rhodes, community activist. This is going to be an open mic hour. We're going to invite your calls. 877-NOBODY-8 is the number, and 866-LEFT-OUT. I was fumbling with these numbers an hour ago, and I got them right finally, I hope. Again, 877-NOBODY-8 and 866-LEFT-OUT. We have a caller on the line ready to go. It's Peggy from Venice. I think I know this, Peggy. Peggy, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You are the notorious... It's Kennedy, isn't it?
Peggy Lee Kennedy.
Hey, Peggy Lee Kennedy. I know you've been working with Food Not Bombs for I don't know how long, and you're in the middle of a lawsuit you're fighting. Here in Fresno, we've won, or I should say they've won a lot. Or you've won a lawsuit, Mike.
Well, we've got a preliminary injunction.
A preliminary injunction is a real victory.
That's
a federal victory. What's happening with your lawsuit down there, Peggy? What's it about?
The lawsuit that's pending a decision right now is regarding the Venice Beach Free Speech Zone. And that's Venice Food Not Bombs versus the City of Los Angeles. That's the pending lawsuit. We're waiting for an answer. And although it does affect homeless people, especially the artists on the Venice Boardwalk that participate in the Free Speech Zone, it isn't specifically a homeless lawsuit. The one that we just helped document and won was Richard No versus the City of Los Angeles, which was regarding a sweep on Venice Beach back in 2004, mm-hmm. where the police came in just before Labor Day, on the Thursday before Labor Day. You know, sweeps seem to be traditionally here just before a holiday or an event where there would be a lot of tourists traditionally on the beach.
Yeah, they're doing that in Santa Cruz now. They're sweeping Santa Cruz big time as part of a new cleanup plan by the city council conservative group headed by Vice Mayor Coonerty. Just thought I'd throw that in for all you Santa Cruzans out there. Your lawsuit has reached the point where you were talking about two lawsuits. One against...
We have one pending, just so there's no confusion, that we do have one pending, and it's regarding the Venice Beach Free Speech Zone, which is not directly homeless.
Right,
but it does affect the homeless artists quite a bit because... Right. It's really about eliminating the poor, unwanted people.
It has to do with letting people continue traditional kinds of activities on the Venice Pier, which sometimes
beach.
Homeless people
beach.
Do. Venice yeah. Beach, right, which sometimes homeless people
do. But the one that we just won,
do.
Which the lawyer is Carol Sobel. She's the president of the L.A. chapter of the National Lawyers Guild.
Right, and she...
And that's important because she doesn't get enough...
Right now, right, Peggy.
She's actually
Peggy,
the one that did all the work in the Jones case that everybody talks
Peggy,
about.
Peggy, this lawsuit that you won, again, can you clarify exactly what you won with one that impacts the homeless?
It's really important. The police now have to hold homeless people's belongings, their possessions, for 90 days.
Hey.
They cannot just throw them away.
It looks like you're one-upping, you're one-upping Fresno. We have here in the studio with us Mike Rose. Mike, what's the decision of the temporary injunction here in Fresno regarding how long Fresno authorities have to hold homeless possessions?
I think they have 30 days to hold possessions. Now, Mayor Autry, who was on earlier today, was saying that the ACLU has forced the city of Fresno to store urine and feces-encrusted mattresses at taxpayers' expenses. But as far as I can tell, and as far as anybody's
That's a bunch of S-H-I-T.
Yeah, they've never taken anything and stored anything that they've taken from the homeless. All they've done is taken it and immediately destroyed it. Mm-hmm. And a federal judge not long ago said that was unconstitutional and gave us a preliminary injunction against the city.
But Carol Sobel of Sobel, thank you, of Venice or of Los Angeles, as well as winning this incredible lawsuit, I guess, with a number of other attorneys to declare that the LA police can't clear Skid Row at night and send homeless people off into oblivion, that they have to have a shelter, and so because there is no shelter, they can't do it, period, in the nighttime hours. They have to let people sleep, lie down on the sidewalk if they have to.
The thing about the city of Los Angeles, and Venice is part of the city of Los Angeles,
right,
is that they really love to create all these city ordinances and laws, and you probably are very familiar with this in your cities, that are anti-homeless. They're targeting homeless people. And the Jones case specifically refers to LAMC, Los Angeles Municipal Code, 41.18, and that's the sidewalk sitting one.
Right, you can't sit, lie, or sleep on the sidewalk, is
right,
that anywhere in Los Angeles?
You know, they're insidious, though, just because there's this ruling, and it's landmark, and I mean, I think it's great, and I like how people keep talking about it because we need to keep it alive. But the city, you know, they don't really, you know, they're not really.
Okay, well, Peggy, we've got another caller. I'm going to have the caller come in here, waiting 5 minutes. Sorry about that.
No.
Sprout from Portland. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Sprout, so you've been listening to us. Anything you're thinking about that might have something to do with what we're talking about?
Well, yeah, I've been listening, and I think it's great that they're making some strides for, people's rights, not just homeless people's rights. But, yeah, I also wanted to say that I think a recurring theme here, as I've been listening, is that punishing victims happens a lot. And another thing is there's a lack of forgiveness. Now, I've been homeless. I've stayed in shelters. I've lived in vehicles. I've also, raised my daughter and was lucky enough not to have her taken from me yet. She's 16. And we're doing well now. I'm just about to get a house. I've been working really hard.
All right.
But I think another problem is discrimination in housing. It's very hard for us to find housing. Just even as a single mother, it's difficult. But if you have any kind of record, they hold it against you for life. You know, I mean, I got arrested at 18. I'm now 35. And every time I try to get a job, every time I try to get housing, they look at that and they don't look at me. They don't look at the fact that I think it's 10% of people that have had major drug problems with hard drugs, 10% get clean and stay clean.
Mm-hmm.
The recidivism rate is terrible, and it's pretty rare to be able to get clean, stay clean, get a job, get housing, get off the street. And the reason why is because they want to hold things against you, and there's no forgiveness.
So, Sprout, how long have you been housed? I should say, not unhoused.
It's been very off and on, and it's been a real struggle. It's been, you know, a room here, a van here, a camper there.
Right. What's the situation in Portland?
Mostly in Portland, though.
What's the situation in Portland regarding the anti-homeless laws? I'd heard that the Wicks decision there had an effect of essentially throwing out the sleeping ban, which let Dignity Village get set up. But then I heard that cops were ignoring it and continuing to arrest homeless people for sleeping and forming encampments. What's going on with that, you know?
I always say it depends on what mood the police are in, you know, because sometimes they'll look the other way and sometimes they'll really give you a hard time. And that goes for anything that you happen to be doing. I was once told, I and this is, you know, I mean, I just happened to be downtown, and I was carrying a bucket of some things that I was, had to carry, and I had gone into a store and bought a piece of chicken for myself and one for my daughter, and we went outside the store, and I sat down on this bucket and was eating a piece of chicken.
You got to wrap this one up. We've got another caller coming
okay,
in.
Okay, the thing was, this was before they had the law where you couldn't sit on the sidewalk. It was you couldn't block the passage. Uh-huh. And I said, I'm not blocking the traffic here. I'm just eating this food that I bought for my lunch.
Right.
The cop said to me, I'm going to walk. Oh, he said the wall that I was leaning on was private property, which I wasn't leaning on the
right.
wall. And he, I said, this is public property. He said, I'm going to walk around the block, and if you're still sitting here, I'm going to take your child away.
Oh, boy.
And let the courts decide.
How long ago was that?
And I wasn't even home.
How long ago was that?
They're eating chicken.
Gotcha. How long ago was that?
And that was, it was a while ago.
Okay, well, look, I appreciate the incoming call, Sprout. Let me roll on you now. All right, we got Paul from Fresno, never homeless, but willing to call after midnight. Welcome, Paul.
Hi. I've been having the radio on, and I love this show, but I think I have to apologize. I was asked if I'd called, and I did call once. Is that a rule? Because I'll hang up now.
I have no idea. Is it?
Oh, okay. Then I'll be brief, and I won't call a third time, I promise.
Well, go ahead. Just make it a worthy call.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Yeah, you really better be good.
Well, it's such an important issue.
It's not a rule anyway, so go ahead. But what are your thoughts?
Well, I've interacted with the homeless here around the Pavarella House in Mission and assisted them in preparing claims and talked to them about how the police, I think the police are rather reluctant to do, they don't see much point in pushing the homeless around. They know it doesn't serve much purpose.
Is that true, Mike Rhodes? We've got Mike Rhodes in the studio. Are the police reluctant
overall.
To, wait a minute, are the police reluctant to push the homeless around? Mike here has been, he's done a lot of filming of the police. If you want to check out his stories, you can go to indiebay.org/Central Valley. He's got a lot of stuff on the internet. Go ahead.
Well, you know, when I first got interested in homeless issues was when I owned a print shop in downtown Fresno. And I saw this police officer who really enjoyed harassing this homeless guy. He was just minding his own business, and the cop got in his face. And he was in the process of creating a confrontation. I pulled the homeless guy into the shop and got the information, the badge number of the cop, and filed a complaint against him. Some of the police here, I think, really enjoy the work of harassing the homeless. They go out and they push them around. They overdo their job. It's a part of the culture, I think, in the police department, and that culture has to change.
And I'm not
sort of like hunting
that.
The homeless. Do you think hunting the homeless?
It's like some of the police in the downtown area, I think they've been given a mandate to push the homeless south of a certain point because of business interests, and they just go for it, and they relentlessly harass people who are where they think that they shouldn't be.
Paul, any last comment?
Well,
we got another caller coming up.
Not that every last Fresno police officer is a Boy Scout. I'm not going to say that.
Uh-huh.
I just mean, when they're being assigned summer after summer to go and take property, to go move the homeless here, go move them there, they kind of see the futility after weeks and months of it.
You say this because you've talked to them?
I'm not going to deny that.
You've talked to them about this, or are you just, you think that they must?
There's a significant number, maybe a quarter of the downtown force that really seem to want to get into it, as Mr. Rhodes suggested. That's entirely, I think that's probably true. And yet, I mean, where the city has its policy that kind of goes around and around, if you're there on the beat, it doesn't seem to serve much purpose, and you can kind of see, you know.
Did you get this by talking to police officers? Where does your thought come from?
I've talked to a couple of them, and I mean, over time.
Right. Okay. That's why I wanted to know. I would think any reasonable person would wonder what the hell is going on here. But unfortunately, police officers are not trained to be reasonable. They're trained to follow orders. See, that's the problem.
True.
But let me roll on you, Paul. Thanks for the call, and I appreciate that you're calling in. Peggy, any thoughts on this and what's happening down in Venice? Or how are police treating?
Bratton is our police chief, and I mean, I really believe that the whole proactive policing in Los Angeles and New York City and all the cities is spread, where, you know, the only way to get promoted is to be really aggressive and to act on even the smallest thing. In fact, they focus on the small things, like a homeless person not even breaking a law, just, you know, find a law.
Thanks, Peggy. Let me get the numbers out here. 877-NOBODY-8 is the call, and you're listening to the 10th Annual Homeless Marathon, in case you just tuned in. 877-NOBODY-8 is the number to call if you'd like to call in. I'd like to apologize. We had thought that we were going to have the Canadian broadcasting system involved this hour. Apparently, it's not happening for all you Canadians. I'm not sure. Yeah, that includes you, I guess, Becky, if you're Canadian-minded. Also, another number is 866-LEFT-OUT.
You used to go drinking in Windsor. Does that count?
Don't know. 866-LEFT-OUT is another number. We have Geraldo, L.A. homeless activist, on the phone. I'm sorry, Gerardo. Gerardo, are you there?
Yeah.
What kind of a homeless activist are you? I mean, are you with an organization?
Well, a lot of my activism has come from just myself. But right here in L.A., I work with an organization that LA Can.
LA Can. I've heard of LA Can.
Yeah, they're part of the RAP, the Western Regional Advocacy Project. And so basically what I wanted to share, I went to high school in San Gabriel, California, which is close to Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to hear about the homeless groups in Fresno, it brings a lot of sadness to a lot of people, not only to the homeless but to their supporters. And I'm very happy that that the homeless marathon is taking place there to bring attention to
what's happening in with LA Can. I know you've been doing demonstrations in front of the police station, demanding that the police apparently they've either been ignoring or working around the Jones decision, which says they can't go after homeless people at night by going after them 1 minute after the time limit is up at 6 or 6:30, and then doing massive drug busts for, you know, and giving huge sentences and doing all kinds of extreme policing activities.
Something like over 4,000 homeless criminalized on Skid Row in the last few months.
Well, you know what? Speaking about Skid Row, I wrote a poem. Maybe this poem will kind of give you an idea. So the poem goes like this. This is Skid Row, where poverty doesn't stop, but only grows. Where you won't be surrounded by rich people, only poor folks. Where the homeless go, where the drugs flow, where the problems are kept on the down low. This you already know. Skid Row, the forgotten place in L.A., where people don't wake up to a better day, where narcotics and the DEA fill these streets with their products every day, where kids don't play, where homeless people pray for a better place than they currently stay. Skid Row, where homeless people are trapped in a maze and they can't get out of this place. But I think it's part of society's evil ways to continue this phase. And until the homeless are housed, I will be amazed. Until then, I continue to see this problem as a conspiracy theory, where the filthy wealthy continue to make their money by increasing poverty in our communities, where their savage inequalities continue to make our nightmare a living reality, where homeless people and people of color experience police brutality, where our brothers and sisters passed away silently but violently, tragically and randomly. Multiply that by 3, and the city of Los Angeles has created a serious catastrophe.
Hey, thank you, Gerardo. Appreciate that. I got to move on to the next caller. It's the number to call for those who are listening is 866-LEFT-OUT, 866-LEFT-OUT. We have Gregory in Santa Cruz, a homeless activist. I think I may know this man.
Oh, no. You going to let this guy on the air? I'm not sure.
You better not try to roll on me, man.
Hey there, Gregory in Santa Cruz. What's the story? Are the police doing any arresting tonight over there?
Well, I didn't quite see anything like it was, say, last Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
That's good.
So it was pretty mellow out on the Ave this evening.
I should let people know, for those just tuned in, I and Becky are from Santa Cruz, and actually Mike coaxed us over here. Mike Rhodes is also on the air this hour.
No
by
kid.
Coming over to Santa Cruz and visiting us. We felt we had to come back. It's his fault we're here.
I'm glad you're there. I just want to let you know that people are getting you up here, and I'm actually watching you live, you know, as best I can, over video streaming and audio.
Wow.
I can't see Becky's face, though. The microphone on the far corner is blocking it all out, so if you want to be able to see her better, you might as well move it.
I'm not sure what...
But I see your mug very well.
Oh, well, my mug is all that counts. So,
what's the labels we put on people is what I'm concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
The whole dialogue and discourse dealing with poverty, marginalization, people without adequate home or shelter, we seem to lump that all under this term homelessness. Well, I guess that's is that PR, would you say? When did that term generally start to be used?
Well, you know, it appears many, many years ago in books I've seen, but it generally has to do with people who are, I guess, treated as disposable because they're very poor, and specifically because they have no fixed residence or abode, you know, that sort of thing.
I think the word homeless was actually an upgrade from the words previous to it, like bum and hobo and derelict and detritus and scum and those kinds of words that were not politically correct. So calling someone homeless, it was a more humane way of describing people. Actually, the PC word now is people experiencing homelessness.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. It seems to be useful as the word to at least give the ideals to people what this entails. So I guess we're stuck with it, for better or for worse. I don't think I like the new one you just mentioned, Becky.
It's got that PC quality that just kind of makes you kind of cringe a little bit.
We need, of course, compassion for all people, and that's one of the root causes, anyway, for at least not solving the problem as well as we could have, say, with the length of time we've been trying to get our arms around this as a society, is because compassion and empathy, and I guess the feeling of powerlessness on the part of our society as a whole. It seems to be fractured, individualized, but people can, in fact, you know, solve it if they just get their asses together and just work in a...
That's what we're working on here in the marathon. Peggy, do you have something you wanted to say?
Well, I would just... You know, a lot of... I don't like the word homeless either. And it's sort of a class. It almost seems like a class issue. You know, they call people who live in vehicles homeless.
Before we go any further, let me give the number for all of us out there. 877-NOBODY-8 is the phone number to call. 877-NOBODY-8 and 866-LEFT-OUT. 866-LEFT-OUT. Call those numbers and you get to, whether you're houseless, homeless, unhoused, or just whatever, you can give a call.
Alternate living lifestyles. You know, the point I'm making is that somebody who is living in an RV that, let's say, is an older RV, and somebody who has a $100,000 rig, I mean, is that person homeless? No. You know, they're not considered homeless.
Well, the reason, what we're talking about here, this hour we began to talk about, is the criminalization of people who are poor, and people who are, you know, relatively well-to-do or running around in ritzy RVs don't really count here, even though they're kind of, you know, I mean, they're, you know, they might suffer theoretically some of the same things, but in practice they don't.
Right.
Becky?
I've got a little list here. I've got a little list of some things that have been criminalized recently. Well, we mentioned sidewalk sitting. I think it was Olympia. It was 6 feet from a building. In Santa Cruz, it's 14 feet from a building is illegal. Solicitation or begging bans. Leaning on a wall is criminalized in some cities. No hacky sacking in Santa Cruz. No bubble blowing. No tossing your car keys to your wife. It's illegal to pour a cup of coffee on Pacific Avenue, like from a thermos into a cup. There is an ordinance that outlaws this airborne fluids. We've tried to figure out what that meant, and why I can tell you we've come up with some strange things that are outlawed.
We have a caller calling in. Perhaps she can give
us a few more, too, to add to the list.
Okay, well, before you do, let's okay. let Tanya from North Carolina join us. Hi, Tanya, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, you're calling from the East Coast. You must be an early bird or a late listener, one of the two.
I'm a third shift.
So what have you, what thoughts do you have?
My thoughts is I work at a particular retail store, and right around Christmas we had a particular